The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Ooh, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Good morning, David Doval. How are you?
I'm good, my friend. How about you?
Yeah, I'm ready for another 2 hours of home improvement. It's, you know, how you spend Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
I trust it was a good week.
It was. Busy. Working harder than I should.
Well, it depends who you talk to on that opinion.
Yeah, that's true.
Subjective opinion there, but I'm sure it's true.
Well, right now, mine's the only one that counts.
Old habits die hard, that's for sure. Boy, yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to go there, but yeah, that's how I see it. I was up in Boston this week.
Nice.
We are back in person for the Harvard Joint Center for Housing Study stuff. You know, we had that COVID. Yeah. We did it remotely. It was just so good to see everybody face-to-face again. Lots of really great, you know, the manufacturers. It's a good, I like it because you get just tons and tons of really good information. And it's a room full of people, many of them competitors, you know, different manufacturers who manufacture the same thing. But they're all there learning and working to make the industry better. Those are the kinds of things that excite me. And make me very confident that our industry and its leaders are in a good spot. So that part was good. I actually learned something, which is, you know, I guess if you go to Harvard, you're supposed to learn something, but like I would never get in there on learning qualifications. Anyway, let's go on. We're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about this morning, folks. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. But David, I have some stuff. First off, it's going to take me a minute. I have some work to do here, but I would like to share ultimately with our listeners the top 10 reasons that home improvement is better than golf.
Here we go.
I'm not going to do it this morning because I have work to do. I've got 17 reasons. I got to narrow it down to 10. And I stopped. Like, there's still more. So I got to work on that a little bit more. I don't think I can do the top 20 reasons. I think people will get bored. But I'll do the top 10. So I'm going to get this list of 17 down to 10.
Anyway. Well, I worked on a house this week that was on a golf course.
So. Yeah.
And all I thought the whole time I was there, the time I turned around, was, oh, how I wish I was out there.
Yeah, see, not me.
I know.
I'd be like, what the heck?
So I just want to clarify for our listeners now, all 12 of them, that I like golf. John doesn't.
So imagine you're driving a nail, and it gets bent a little bit in one direction. Like, do you say, go left, go left, go left? You slice the ball. Why are you talking to it? Go left, go left. It ain't going to move.
When you use a nail gun, you don't have to worry about that.
All right. Okay. Well, there you go. So maybe, hey, the golf bazooka. Just shoot that ball right at the pin right now. Or better yet, get in the cart, drop the ball in the hole and say, there, if that's what you're trying to do, isn't that a little easier? Mm-hmm. All right. Here comes Wayne. Wayne, good morning. Save us from our insanity. How are you this morning?
I am fine.
How can we help you, Wayne?
You guys touched base on this last week. I didn't get to hear everything you was talking about. I was busy. But I have the black mildew, I guess you call it, on my roof of my house. So
that's
some of my neighbors in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Is there a cure for that other than replacing the roof?
Oh, yeah. We talked about it last week, Wayne. There's several products out there. I think one that comes to mind, and I just have an old mind, so it may have a different name now, but fundamentally it's the same. Like, there's Joe Max is a manufacturer of cleaning products for the outside, and They have a product called M1 Roof and Deck Wash. And it's, you have to follow the instructions. It's a concentrate, but you can put it in a sprayer and spray it, or you can put it for some of those applications, using the insecticide canisters where you dial it and it draws the chemical out. You put it on the end of the hose and it draws chemical out. You could do that as well. But you basically spray it on the roof and let it set and then rinse it off. The tricks are really doing it on a cool day and a shady day, so the roof isn't like baking hot, because it needs to sit on the roof wet to really work. But that'll do it. Almost, I use the, is it the 32nd or 60-second cleaner, David? I can't remember the name
right
now.
Yeah, both.
I've never tried that on the roof. But a good exterior, something for exterior siding or roofing is going to do a good job. Just Dave, remind them not to shoot up underneath the shingles and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, you just want to position yourself so that you create a little arc or arch with the water hose as you spray it. So if you use a hose in sprayer for your product or whatever, there's products out there too, like Wet and Forget. There's some other ones. I don't think they carry that at Home Depot anymore. But anyway, it's already pre-mixed, and you spray it up there, and you don't even have to rinse it. The rain will actually activate it every time, and it eventually will clean the roof off. But the main thing is, like John said, just don't shoot it straight up in so that you're getting underneath the shingles. If the roof is a low pitch and you could get up and stand at the top and spray down the roof, that's the best way.
Yeah.
But if you can't and you're on a ladder, just make sure you keep some type of an arch on the water so that you're not forcing the water up underneath flashings or underneath the tabs of the shingles.
Okay, some of these products can be bought at Home Depot.
Oh yeah, I think all of them can.
Okay, all right.
The Wet and Forget, there's just a different version. It's a different name, but it does the same thing.
I appreciate the info. Thank you very much.
Thank you, man. Wayne. Oh, we should ask Wayne, home improvement or golf?
The Wells Fargo tournament this week, by the way. I know.
I'm just messing. This is hyperbole. I'm the epitome of hyperbole. Come on.
Oh, I know. But I thought maybe that's why you were doing it this week.
Are you kidding me? Be thematically correct? That would be like wearing the right clothes on the golf course for me. We're going to take a break, folks. 704-570-1110. We'll talk about home improvement when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We want to talk about what's important to you. David, one of the things we did not share was Wayne, our last caller, I think, was just the moss strip or the moss prevention strip. I forget, it's got 100 different names, but it's a piece of galvanized metal that gets nailed to the roof up under the very top course of shingles. So between the ridge, either the ridge vent or the ridge cap shingles, and that first course of shingles, and you just nail it in there and leave about an inch or so of it out. And as the rain water washes over it, it washes some of the, it dissolves literally. I mean, very, very slowly, but it dissolves some of the metal and washes it down the roof. And that metal creates a hostile environment for the fungus, and it stays cleaner.
Right.
So that's something just for free. This week, so we took the call, and we got stuck. I got stuck on, you know, the top 10 reasons why home improvement is better than golf. We'll deal with that another time once I can pare that list down. But there's some other things, David. I thought this week I'm looking at this. I have a long list. In fact, I think it's probably 52 items long, because it's tip of the week from 2007. So I thought we could have a tip of the week extravaganza and just do like the good old fashioned stuff that, that we've always done, just like more questions came up. I don't know if you have stuff from email. And then I also have some aging in place like a remodeling checklist for aging in place. And that, I thought that would be some worthwhile content. And so since you like golf more than home improvement.
I didn't say that.
Oh, you said you like golf. I do too, actually. I've had some really enjoyable times on the golf course. I have. I'm not being sarcastic. So aging in place or tip of the week, your call. What do you want to do?
Well, let's do aging in place because that was kind of left over from last week.
It was, yes.
And let's do that, and then that way that might spur some questions out there.
Right. So, and we are. We're 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We worry, folks, that when we get on, or I blame it on me, I do the outlines, we get on these jags that we don't let you talk about what's important to you. If we're talking about aging in place and you want to talk about, I don't know, something else, then let us know by dialing 704-570-1110.
Yeah, you're not interrupting us.
No.
Chris won't let us just be silent.
Yeah, it's more than Chris. Chris is very accommodating. It's other people, like advertisers and program directors. We have an awesome program director, by the way. We've been through a few. Anyway, that's another day's story. And I've had caffeine and everything this morning, still going ADD. All right, so let's do aging in place. Outside, exterior, David, exterior aging in place. First thing that you think about, when you talk about outside and aging in place.
Trying to get in the house.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, that's it. That's something we don't think about. You don't think really about any of this whenever everything's working properly and you have all your strength and all the mobility. We take that for granted, but anything can happen, God forbid a disease or a car accident or whatever, and even if it was just temporary, if you just had to have surgery because your knees are bad, right John?
Right. Knees, hips. It's all good.
It's all good.
This body was not designed for eternity.
Not to do what I've been doing with it, I can tell you that. That's why I designed my house that way. So we designed it so the garage was lower. And we built our garage extra large because we have a truck. And it's nothing more aggravating than trying to pull your vehicle in the garage, right? Not have enough room to walk around. You have to put the garage door open to get to the other side of the truck. I didn't want that. But really, the main reason that I did it was that we could easily add a ramp inside the garage. So we could pull in the garage, get out of the vehicle, and be able to go up this ramp. A potential ramp with a walker or a wheelchair or whatever, but the door was wider. And of course we built the garage up so that it's only two steps down from the threshold to the floor.
Right.
So that was kind of what we were thinking. So.
No, but you had the advantage. You had the advantage of doing that during planning and construction, right?
I did.
And so, that's very bright, and the right thing to do, certainly. The challenge, the bigger challenge frequently is, okay, now I've got a home. I don't want to leave it. I think about my parents in their home, and theirs was actually pretty friendly. It was, but irrelevant, but it's an existing home. And so you got to do something to make it accessible. And I don't want to sound like I have a cold heart because I really don't think I do, but like sometimes just sticking a ramp on the front of a really nice house, if that's your only option, go for it. People are always more important than things and critters, but that's aesthetically unpleasing. And as important as it is to you, neighbors could get frustrated, right? So I think one of the things to think about before it's super, like it's immediate and necessary to do something, and now your only option is quickly get a ramp on the front of it, is to think, David, as you did about, all right, is there a way to come into the garage with no impediment, right? There's no step up mm-hmm. or whatever into the garage. And in the worst case scenario, do something with a landing in the garage where you could put an elevator system to get a wheelchair or a person from, you know, floor level in the garage up to whatever level it has to be. Or as you say, can a ramp be installed in the garage? If there's, you know, if it's a big enough garage, can you have something right between the cars? Or I think what you, the point you make is good. And then same thing on the back of the house. Is there something that's all on the same level? You go in the back so that you can maintain, because a lot of the arguments that we hear about, you know, the difficulties of doing the aging in place remodeling is, it's like, hey, it's going to look like the south end of a northbound dog, and I just don't like that. And so it doesn't have to, I guess, is the point we're making. On the outside also, what about like maintenance, plants? What about the outside surface of the house? Like the siding, I guess brick or vinyl would probably be best. Easy maintenance, right? Don't paint the brick.
Brick is nice. And, you know, if you could put something that doesn't have to be painted, that only has to be cleaned, there's some savings there. We know with brick, obviously you pay in the front end,
right.
So, right. And then, you know, siding, you have to continue to clean it, but you normally don't have to paint it, which makes it nice.
All right. We got to take a break, folks. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're at 704-570-1110. That's 704-570-1110. You always go to AskJohnAndDave.com. Click on the questions button. Send us a question that way. We're going to talk about aging in place. We're going to talk about tips of the week. We're going to talk about whatever is on your mind at 704-570-1110 when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We're talking home improvement. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. David, remind me of an opportunity to partner with Brett Winterville. But first, we're going to do our Home Depot product of the week. Super simple product of the week this week. It is the CTS Rapid Set Concrete. What's special about that? Couple things. Number one, comes to full structural strength in 1 hour. There's three products that I'm thinking about. What's called Cementol. And what I like about this is you can go from a feather edge to 4 inches thick and be on spec. There's a mortar mix that you can go from 2 inches thickness to 6 inches thickness, and it can be applied on vertical surfaces without sagging. And number three is just the basic concrete mix. You can go from 4 inches thick to 2 feet thick. It's got a 3/8 aggregate right in the mix, so your PSIs are full on, and all of it comes to full structural strength in 1 hour, 60 minutes. Actually, a little bit less, but who's counting? It's not like golf where you got to count every stroke. All right, that's it. That's our product. Oh, and by the way, this stuff will set you back for a 60-pound bag, like, I don't know, $10, $15, something like that. So it's a great product. Go to the Home Depot website and just check it out, because there's some really great videos there, and you will see why all of these features, feathering it out and vertical application without sagging, you'll see why they're actually benefits, because you can see them in applications that you're like, wow, I didn't know how to do that, but that's how I can do that. How do I wrap this curve? This is how I do it, right? So that's it. The Home Depot product of the week for this week. David, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't say this, but I was just listening to Brett Winterville, and like, I guess thongs are illegal at Myrtle Beach now. We could do like the top 10 reasons at home improvement, like wearing a tool belt is better than wearing a thong. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I listen to Brett every week, and I know you don't listen.
I don't
much
get to, yeah, because yeah.
Be, but it's you're missing out. But you, there's a lot of similarities between you two. I'm gonna tell you.
We should partner up. Maybe that would be fun. All right, 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. We're talking about home improvement. We're talking about aging in place. We kind of went through the outside piece real quick. Most importantly, on the outside, it's easy maintenance. Don't plant a bunch of shrubs that are going to require a lot of maintenance over time. And access. How high is the, you know, the threshold, the number of steps, and so on? You got to get yourself a way to make easy access. What about just the floor plan at large? You guys are in a pretty, if you think about universal design in your home, it's in a good, it's good, right? And
yeah, it was designed for that. I mean, we built a ranch. We do have stairs for, we have one room upstairs, which is Gina's office, but it would be a, it could be a fourth bedroom for someone, or it could be a, you know, a bonus room. It's over the house. It's not over the garage. But it was all designed on purpose. As I was going through this plan, that's what we decided, was just in case if we stayed here. Not only that, it gave us another selling point, if you will,
right,
down the road when we sell, that would be helpful for someone. You know, and even being able to get out the back, you could easily adapt a ramp because there's enough room to get out to the pool area. So you have to, if you can, I mean, if you're in a position and you're building, or you're remodeling and you can think about these types of things, it's not a bad idea. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, worst case scenario, John, if you're in a house and it's just going to be too expensive to mm-hmm. adapt it to that type of living, you can certainly find another place to live. But,
right.
You know, if you're somewhere and you don't want to move or you can't move, for whatever reason, then, you know, you have to do what you have to do.
Right. So aging in place can be the existing home that I'm in, or moving to a newer home or a different home,
right,
where you can be accommodated more readily.
Sure.
The idea that versus assisted living or, memory care is just a total different game, right?
But
being able to be there versus independent living or assisted living, being in your own domicile.
As my mom said when she had moments of clarity when she was suffering with Alzheimer's, that's what she said. She said, well, the good thing is I don't know. like, okay.
Oh, that's funny.
You could say it, but I can't.
That's right. As long as you think that's funny, we're okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, overall floor plan, it's just there's a lot of renovations being done now that we see to move the master on main. So where additions were made for rec rooms or like sunrooms and things like that, additions and the footprint mm-hmm. of a home is being expanded to accommodate a master bedroom on the main level. And,
right.
And that's really, and it's like you say, David, you think about the day that you just been in a crawl space all day, or you've been out working hard all day on a project, and you come home and after you've sat for a few minutes and then move, like everything aches, and going up those 15 stairs, whatever it is, like that's a project.
Yeah.
So there, you get a
sense. That's why the couch is wore out.
you don't sit in your dirty clothes on the couch, I hope, man. Come on.
No. I'd usually change as soon as I get in. But, right. You know, we did a job. We did a job earlier this year for a lovely couple over on the east side of Charlotte and converted a living room. And we had talked about that a little bit, but that's what that was aging in place. And took their living room, which barely gets used, you know, like she said, a couple times
mm-hmm.
a year,
mm-hmm.
and cut it off from the dining room, closed that door up. But that room was long enough and large enough. We created
a
full bathroom.
Oh wow!
And a bedroom, so that they, when the time comes, they won't have to go up the stairs. And they didn't wait until they couldn't. They did it now.
That's very prudent.
So they're prepared.
Yeah. Love that thought.
And I thought it was just brilliant and good thinking on their part.
All right. We got to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about the overall floor plan a little bit, hallways and some things you can do that'll make your house easy to adapt later on if you have to do that. 704-570-1110 is the number to call if you want to talk to us at the Home Depot Home Improvement Show, which we'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
or 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Call us. We want to talk about what's important to you, or we'll just keep talking about what we think is important to us. Right now, we're on an important topic for sure, universal design or aging in place, accessibility. Got a lot of different names, but the bottom line is as you age, making sure that your home can age with you or that it can accommodate your aging and your difficulties in climbing stairs and turning on faucets and things like that. One of the things just in the overall floor plan, and we are by no means doing like a thorough deep dive drain, every concept sort of addressing the issues here, just trying to get the juices flowing and speak to somebody, pardon me, when you're going to do a remodeling project or a construction project. Both the Home Builders Association and NARI, the National Association of Remodeling Industry, have pardon me, certifications for aging in place. So you can hire a contractor or a modeler, a design build contractor who has been trained to address all the aspects of aging in place. It's a really good idea. That one of the things on the main floor that you miss, or that we would miss, David, is the clearance for like turning space and kitchen living areas. You really, ideally, you would think leaving, a lot of people say, oh, you got to leave 3 feet. A 5 foot by 5 foot clear turn space in key living areas like kitchen, bedroom, and bathroom are critical. So that's a 5 foot by 5 foot place where you can turn a wheelchair around, right?
So
I remember, this is going all the way back to my days at Villanova. I had a really good friend who was in the nursing program. And she was going to do geriatric care. So this is like in the 70s and before all of this was really, really popular. But she had chosen to do geriatric care. And one of the things that she had to do, I don't remember all the nuances of it, but basically for a day, she had to put on like these gloves that would sort of simulate arthritis. So you couldn't, you know, your manual dexterity was diminished, and like stockings and leg things to really constrain how you could move around, and then be in a wheelchair. You had to get wherever you had to go that day in a wheelchair, and she was an awesome individual, and she said, John, I broke down a half a dozen times just because I couldn't do things with my hands and I couldn't do things with my legs, And she said it was a life-changing moment, mm-hmm. because it just gave her the perspective of what it's like to
forced compassion.
Yeah, yeah. Oof. And yeah, I think you forget. I know for me, just handwriting anymore. I have really bad arthritis in my hands. I used to have pretty neat handwriting, and it just hurts. And that's just nothing, right? So it's you want to plan. You want to plan correctly. Sorry for the lecture.
Well, my handwriting was always terrible, so I just told everyone I had arthritis.
People used to make fun of me at work. They say, you write like a girl. I'm like, no, I write like a nun. I was taught penmanship by nuns.
So the arthritis was actually from a ruler.
It could have been that ruler whack. I don't know. My grandmother was worse with the ruler and my handwriting than the nuns ever were. All right, let's talk to Gerald. Good morning, Gerald. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. Thanks, sir.
How can we help?
I'm a retired maintenance department manager, and throughout my entire career, I was always locating underground wires, piping, whatever you have, with a couple of bent metal rods that I held in my hand. Mm-hmm. It always works, never fails. And I've never been able to find anybody that could explain why or how they work. Do you have any idea?
Well, electric, I mean, I just answer things because I'm male and my job is to solve problems. But I think you're probably having a hard time hearing us. So I imagine from an electric perspective, there's an electromagnetic field. I think I'm probably getting the physics of it wrong around anything that carries significant amount of current from point A to point B. So I can see why metal devices would detect that. For gas lines, were you able to find gas lines and stuff?
it could be PVC pipe, water PVC water pipe, empty PVC pipe, and I've done it with bent brass rods, so that removes the magnetic portion.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. I don't know, David. I've heard of like dowsers, you know, being able to find water with a divining rod.
Yeah, right.
But I don't know, man. Maybe you shouldn't have retired, Gerald. We need about 100 of you.
I mean, I've heard of other municipalities and other people using this same process, but I've never been able to find anybody that can tell me how it works.
All right. David, do you know?
I really don't know the
if
the
it's
technical
brass,
side
I'm
of
clueless.
That.
Yeah.
So, but I'm sure it has to do with the electromagnetic field, even though, you know, you hear all of this now about grounding yourself, going outside and being barefoot and getting back in the dirt and how good that is for your body. So there's probably something to that, Gerald. And I'm not smart enough to tell you what it is. I bet you there's somebody out there that is, though.
Gerald, we're putting out the APB. Whoever knows why Gerald and others can locate all manner of conduit beneath the surface with two brass rods, please call 704-570-1110. If it's a lengthy answer and there's a link, send it to askjohnanddave.com or questions at askjohnanddave.com. Gerald, I don't know. I didn't even know that you could do that. So,
I mean, it never fails. It works every time, but I've always been puzzled. But relied on it.
How did was there a special way you held the rods, or is like how did you
loosely?
They're bent right at a 90 degree angle. They're bent. I hold the vertical portion loosely in my hands,
right,
and the other portion, which is parallel to the ground. Invariably, when I cross over a pipe or whatever, the rods will cross themselves, indicating that it's there, and that's. It's always puzzled me.
Well, shuck
I
my
just,
corn.
That's
I
what I think
no
is.
Idea.
It's just of is because it's of almost a void in the dirt that it must sense. There's got to be something because it doesn't matter what it is, right?
Well,
so
I know these we're going to do all kinds of snippets of tiny pieces of information. I know that like AM broadcasting somehow uses the ground also, and. So there's got to be something to that. But how thick are the rods? Because I'm asking all these questions.
Like an eighth of an inch is all.
Not much.
I mean, I've used brazing rods, stainless steel TIG rods. I mean, it doesn't matter. Whatever I use, they work.
I'm going to try this. Folks, I don't know. So, Gerald, seriously, folks, if you're listening and you know the answer to Gerald's question, let us know. There's a bunch of Georgia Tech engineers, like where I work. I'm going to ask them. I have no idea. Give us a call, folks. Gerald, well, thanks for that question. I don't know what to tell you.
Thank you for your time.
And, hey, listen, I'll tell you this also. Thank you for what you did all your life, because guys like you are precious. I'm sorry that you retired. You're probably happy you retired. I hope you love golf. Have a great day, Gerald. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I golf. I fish.
Ah, there you go. There you go. All right, man. Gerald, thank you so much for your call. We'll tell you. Stay tuned. If people call us with the answer, I'd love to understand that. Folks, it's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. If you know why the rods work to identify, underground conduits, please let us know, because we're puzzled. If you've got another home improvement question, we're at 704-570-1110. Grab a cup of coffee. I don't know. Maybe we can even Google that, David, during the break here and see what's going on. But this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. We're going to take a break and be back to answer your questions right after these important messages.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
A Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. This is hour number two of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Give us a call. Looks like we got some lines coming in. We'll grab them. We're talking, well, we'll talk about what's important to you. We've got some aging in place, universal design conversations going on. I just talked about exterior and easy access into the home. We talked about the overall floor plan. One of the things that I thought was really, really smart, it's a little more complex, and we'll talk about floor coverings and things like that in a second, but in some of the production builder, they're quasi-production, I guess, quasi-custom builders. They're doing multi-use or these townhomes, or what I call row homes. Having lived in Philadelphia for a little while, they call them row homes there, but they're fundamentally townhomes, and they stacked closets. So if you walk into the house, there's a closet. And then if you go to the next floor, there's a closet. Because in these row home kind of confines, you really can't spread out and have everything on a single level. So it mandates a second level. What they did is they stacked the closets, David, so one over the other. So when the time comes, you have an elevator shaft. It's additional closet space, so it's not like you got to lose the closet space. If you go in now, you're like, wow, you have a lot of closet space. But the idea is, these two closets are stacked, and when the day comes that you need to have an elevator, a huge portion of the cost of putting an elevator in a home is you know, creating and doing the demolition and structural things that you need to do to accommodate the elevator shaft, right? Or you put some kind of unsightly thing right in the living area. That typically isn't going well. So I thought that was brilliant. And those are the kinds of things as you design, you say, well, I can't go to a single story. Well, if you're designing your home, there's something to think about. Certainly some bright folks considered that. Let's talk to Catherine. Catherine, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm seeking advice.
Okay.
Whether to go with a tankless water heater.
Mm-hmm.
My home is new to us. It was brand new. It was being built five and a half years ago.
Okay.
And right from the beginning, I noticed that you had to run the hot water tap for what seemed like an exceedingly long time before you got hot water.
Yeah. Yep.
And it drives me crazy because I hate to waste all that beautiful water.
Sure.
You're right not to waste it. And by the way, I don't think that an on-demand water solution, a tankless, is going to solve that problem. Typically, that occurs because the source of the hot water is a long way away from the where your spigot, where your faucet is.
Mm-hmm.
And so all that water that's sitting in the pipe, hot water that started out hot, didn't get used, turned to room temperature, right?
Right.
And so now you got to wait for... Oh, go ahead, David, I'm sorry.
I'd say, and in combination with low-flow faucets.
Right. So it takes...
So it takes longer, right.
So the real solution for that, Catherine, is not necessarily an on-demand or a tankless water heater, but a pump, a recycling pump. And what it does is it pumps water from the hot water heater or from the water heater to the most remote faucet and then cycles it back into the system and dumps it back into the water heater so you're not wasting. Go ahead, I'm sorry, through the cold water.
Well,
side.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, uses the hot and the cold water line.
Right.
John, you set yours up on a timer, right?
I did. I have one, Catherine, that's on a timer, so it's not constantly recycling it. It probably wouldn't consume that much energy to constantly recycle it, but I have one that's on a timer, and so I have it set for when I get up in the morning, when on a Saturday, showering in the afternoon, an evening time for getting ready for bed, and so on. And so I just have it set to recirculate for about 15 minutes before I'm going to use it and for a few minutes afterwards, and then it shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always hot water when you turn the shower on, there's always hot water when you turn the bathroom faucet on and so on. That would be the suggestion I think we would make, David.
Yeah.
Yes.
I might mention too that in the same bathroom, which again is the most remote from the tank,
mm-hmm.
When I turn the shower on, I don't have to wait nearly as long for it to get hot.
There's a couple reasons for that. Go ahead.
Yeah, the flow is a little more.
It's flow.
Oh, it's probably got a 3/4-inch supply line. If it's a new construction and you have some of the nicer.
Yeah.
Yep. It's got a bigger pipe. Yeah. And so the shower head is allowing more water to move through. If you turn the tub on and use the tub to do it, it would go hot faster also because you're just moving more of the cold water. The ambient temperature water out of the hot water line.
So any plumber can do this?
Tell them you want a recirculating pump for your water heater, and they'll attach the temperature sensor will go underneath the vanity in that master bedroom bath.
Okay.
Here's the only downside.
Wanted to mention one thing.
Yes.
Since I am a little impaired. I am very grateful for this house. As I said, it was brand new. And when they built it, all the doorways to the bedroom, the master, are much wider than usual to accommodate a wheelchair or what have you.
Yep,
right.
They didn't follow through with a nice big stall shower.
Right.
Got to the finish line and stopped. Well, Catherine, thank you. Stay, continue to listen because we have to take a break, but Lamar is on the line and he's got some additional help for you also. So if you got a minute, we're going to drop here, take our break, and then we'll bring Lamar on to share some additional insights and thoughts. Thanks so much for your call, Catherine. All right, Catherine goes away. Lamar, hang tight. We got to take a break and we'll be to you folks. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to be right back. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Catherine's question on hot water, waiting so long for hot water, Lamar had dialed in and he dropped when we took our break. But Chris, our producer, told us that his comment was locate the water heater centrally in the home, which is absolutely the right information and answer. In designing a home, you would want to do that. The challenge Catherine has is the builder did not do that. So now she has a remote scenario, right, where the water heater is in one zip code and your master bedroom is in the other zip code, and you got to get the water from point A to point B.
There's another remedy to that. And, John, what I did at my house was the gas water heater, I know I said it, the gas water heater is in the garage. It's 70 feet or so from the master bedroom. So what I did was we put a small electric water heater underneath the master bath, and I fed it with hot water from the gas water heater. So we always have hot water within a couple of seconds. I think I timed it. Catherine said it best. She said it happens in the shower faster than it does in the sinks. And that's exactly our scenario. And the water heater is literally underneath the bathroom.
Yeah.
So the faucets take about, I don't know, 25 seconds, and it takes about 15 seconds or 10 seconds in the shower.
Yeah, that's perfect.
To get that hot water. So we're not wasting water. And that was our goal too. Not only that, convenience is important, but the main goal was not to waste water, which I believe is our most precious.
It is. It's
a commodity on earth. That's the thing that we have to take care of is our water.
And the good news is the more expensive electric heater is taking hot water from the gas-fired tank, so it's not getting it at like 60 degrees or 70 degrees and getting it up. It's taking it at temp and holding it, right? So you're not straining an already strained electric grid with, you know, with demand, a double demand, because you've got both electric and gas. So good call. And here's Lamar. Lamar's back. Hey, Lamar, thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. The tankless water heater is an option if there's a crawl space and they can move the tank to the center of the house where the tankless heater can work and not have to wait a long time to pull hot water either direction.
There you go. So changing it out to tankless, as long as you, the difference there, though, would be using a tankless because it takes up less space and then you can move it somewhere centrally. Right.
Now we put them on the outside, so there's no taking up any space at all inside the house.
There you go. So that's another another option. Mm-hmm. Catherine, remember we asked you to stay listening. So if you want to go tankless, great solution, but get it placed so it's closer to all the different things that are going to require the hot water. Lamar, you're a licensed plumber.
Yes, sir. I'm retired.
Why you guys retire, man? We need you. I'm just kidding. It's okay. It's okay. We are grateful for all the years you spent doing the right thing, and thank you for taking a minute.
Glad to help y'all. I've called back in the past, and enjoy talking to y'all.
Well, we thank you for your wisdom and for sharing it.
No problem. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you, Lamar. Let me see here. Sorry. Okay. So, Lamar, great point. A double win would be going to the tankless or on-demand heater, but placing it wherever you need to. And his point, David, I know you've done this also. You've put them outside of homes, right?
It's a good place to have them because you don't have a tank, so you don't have to worry about them cooling down. And
correct.
They still remain fairly energy efficient out there. And the tankless is great, and you know, as we say, if you need the space where the current water heater is, or you need an endless source of hot water, that's certainly the way to go. You know, we've done the shows before where we've talked to the guys that sell and created the tempering valves that go on top of the water heater, so you can use a traditional water heater and turn the water up hotter. You'll have a supply of hot water with that. I've never run out of hot water with our gas water heater, and we've had 12, 15 people here before, and you know, people showering one right after the other. So, but as my granddaughter says, be careful, Pop's water is very hot.
They know. All right. We've got lines open. We're at 704-570-1110. We're going to run through some additional things here just on universal design. Catherine said it right with the doorways, that she appreciated that they had the 36-inch doors because you need to have a minimum of 32 inches clear. So even with a 32-inch door all the way open, the thickness of the door constrains, you know, the width of the opening, because usually you can't swing it all the way back against the wall. So it requires a 36-inch door to get the minimum clearance.
Sure. Also makes it easier to get furniture in and out.
It's the truth, man. It is the truth. I finished our basement, and the doors that I put in, I did all 36-inch doors. The door, there was an existing office down here, and it's only a 28-inch door, 30-inch door. So when I tried to get this desk in here, yikes. Mm-hmm. It was like, I don't know, a Tetris problem. All right, 704-570-1110. Another really simple thing is on your entry door, have a low peephole and a high peephole, like to check to see who's at the door, or have a ring. Side light, right, that you can pull a little curtain aside and take a look out and see what's going on. Doorbell at accessible locations. Flooring, you have virtually no carpet in your house, correct?
Only on the stairs going up. That's it. Everything else is LVP or ceramic tile.
It's just non-trip, non-skid. What about countertops? In your scenario, not so much. I've seen countertops that actually move. Cooktops that actually, you know, go up to typical counter level and then drop for use. If you get out and really get a look at universal design and appliances. It's pretty amazing, all the things that are there to accommodate it. A couple of items real quick before we have to take our break. Faucets, turning faucets on and off. The new stuff now with, like, you just wave your hand is great. That's super good, right? If you're not going that route, clench your fist and see if you can turn the faucet on or off without your fingers. And if the answer is no, then make an adjustment, right? But the lever faucets, if it's a dual handle, levers are good. Certainly a lever faucet for the kitchen and for the baths. Mm-hmm. Same with doorknobs.
Sure.
I tell you, I love the lever knobs just because, you know, I can use my hip. That sounds nicer than what I actually use to, you know, open a door when I've got two armloads of groceries or something. So mm-hmm. it's not just for the aging, although I think I qualify on both fronts. All right, look, we're going to be up against the break here, so we're going to go ahead and take it. Folks, if you got a question, whether it's about universal design, something else going on in your house, home improvement-wise, give us a shout. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We still haven't heard the answer to why the brass rods work, but we'll hang tight and get that information when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We're taking your calls this morning at 704-570-1110. Before we jump into our Home Depot product of the week, let's get Bill, because it's kind of related. Bill, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
How can we help, Bill?
A couple questions about concrete. I just had mine cleaned, and I want to know how to fill the cracks. I know there's a product that has some elasticity in it. Mm-hmm. That I could fill the cracks. And then second, what do you suggest I seal, stain, or color it with?
So depending on the width and depth of the cracks that you have in the concrete, David and I like a product called Sikaflex, Sika-FLEX. And it's a self... Pardon me?
Would you repeat that?
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's Sika-FLEX, Sikaflex.
Okay.
And it's a self-leveling product. So you cut the tip of the caulk, comes in a caulk tube, you get a 10th right. gallon or quarter gallon tube, depending on what you've got to get done. And you just run it into the crack, and it fills up the crack and settles out. A couple things, David, I think you've always given good advice about taping, if it's possible, but the side of the crack, because it's a polyurethane based product, so it's really sticky. It's a, you know, mineral spirits cleanup, not soap and water, and so you want to be careful where it gets, because it's going to stay there for a while. The other thing that's important, Bill, is if you've got really deep cracks, like deep and wide cracks, you may want to consider putting a backer rod, or what's also called a caulk saver, and it comes right. in different diameters. It's foam, and you just push it down into the crack and then fill from that point up, so that you don't, the Sikaflex is not inexpensive. I mean, it's, you don't need a mortgage or anything to pay for it, but it's not cheap, and you don't want to just pump it down to, you know, through the earth's crust. Mm-hmm. And so you can put this backer rod in there, and that gives you, you know, a half an inch or so to fill in. And then it stops. And the beauty of both of those products is they're flexible, as you pointed out, right? So as the concrete expands and contracts, it's not hard and it doesn't break out. Mm-hmm. David, I'm sure I'm missing something in that. What?
Well, I just think a couple other tips along with what you were talking about, John, would be have yourself a piece of cardboard to lay the caulk right. gun on as right. you're working. Probably a pair of knee pads are nice to have. Some rags and some paint thinner, so that you're prepared if there is any type of a spill or an accident, or you get it on something you don't want it on. Usually, if you use the rag and the paint thinner, you can clean it up pretty quick before it sets up. One of the things that I've done.
Second question: can you color it if I wanted to color all of the
concrete, Yes, no. You can. So what you would be looking for is a concrete stain. I'm not a fan of the water-based stains. I've used them. They don't hold up very well. I like the solvent-based products. I like H&C stain is my favorite. You can't, but Home Depot doesn't have it. They do sell it at Sherwin-Williams, and you can purchase that there. What you could do is once you pick the Sikaflex, I think they have two colors. One's a more of a dove gray, and the other one's it's a different color gray. Right. It looks more like concrete. If you put some of that on a piece of cardboard and let that dry, take that with you and have them tint that stain the same color.
There you go. Because it's that, the Sikaflex isn't going to pick up the stain, right?
I mean, it's, no, it will not.
It will not. So it'll go. Your stain will sit right on top of the Sikaflex, and when you wipe it away or whatever, it's gone. So you got to match the Sikaflex color if you don't want to see it.
Okay.
But
thank you.
But you do have to do all your prep. So, you know, read up on doing a concrete stain and make sure this is something you want to get into. I don't know how big your driveway is. I wouldn't want to do it. My driveway and my parking area, it's like 6,500 square feet. So I would not want to do that with the color.
Small patio I'm doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you're in good shape with that. You probably get away with a gallon of that, but you do have to acid etch that concrete. You have to open up the pores to ensure that the stain penetrates and will go down in the concrete, and you'll get a good bond. But yeah, so you could have it tinted the same color as the filler that you use, and you'll be in pretty good shape.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Great question. Appreciate you. All right, Bill's off. Before we take our break, we're going to sneak our Home Depot product of the weekend. This week, I love it. It's a CTS products. It's Rapid Set Concrete. Here's why I think they're great. Number one, there's a what's called a Cementol product that can go from a feathered edge all the way to 4 inches, and it gets to structural strength in 1 hour. There's a mortar mix that can go from 2 inches thick to 6 inches thick and be applied vertically without sagging, and it goes to full structural strength in less than an hour. And then there's a concrete mix which goes from 4 inches to 2 feet, and it has a 3/8 inch aggregate in it, so the PSI ratings are excellent, and it goes to structural strength in an hour or less. So that's it. That's our, and these things are not super, super expensive. Rapid Set. Check out the videos on HomeDepot.com, because you'll see all kinds of things would be normally very difficult to solve, and these products can get it done. So that's it. That's our Home Depot product of the week. And I think we got it in just in time to take a break. So that's what we're going to do. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, or askjohnanddave.com. Click on the questions button. The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave will be back after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We're in our final segment, folks. This is what we affectionately term the lightning round, but we want to get your calls in. So if you've got something you want to get squared away this week, we're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Of course, God willing, we'll be here next week. And you always have AskJohnAndDave.com. Click on the questions button or send a note directly to questions@AskJohnAndDave.com, and we can take care of that. We've been talking, we never got to our tips of the week, Dave, which is probably a good thing. We've been talking about universal design and just accessibility and aging in place. And pardon me, in this last section here, 70, if you have another question, different topic, by the way, 704-570-1110. Lots of great questions this morning. Not related to this, but there's some really simple things that technology makes better and better and better. There's always been motion sensor lights, but the LED solutions they've just changed so many things. But if you think about a hallway where someone's going to move up and down, go up and down, put a motion sensor light in that hallway, or a motion sensor connected to the switch, so that when somebody enters the hallway, it comes on. The reason I think LED is so great, just in that simple solution, David, is if when that happens in broad daylight, when you may or may not need the light, you're not like creating the national debt with an electric bill, and you're not creating additional heat, right?
Right.
So I think that that's something to consider. Consider jam switches for closets, so that when you open a closet door, the light comes on. When you close the door, the light goes off. We talked about flooring thresholds. You know, we're working on flush. We could spend an entire show, I think, David, just on the bathroom, right? Because Catherine, one of our callers earlier this morning, made a really good point. She said she loved the wide doorways, the wide hallways. The builder did an excellent job. And then they got to the master bath and stopped in that they didn't do a zero curb shower.
Right.
And do all the things inside the master bath. Not that hard to do when you're doing construction initially, right? Well, really not that hard to do coming back.
Well, yeah. Yes and no, because it's if you're doing zero curb, that means you have to go down into the floor.
So you're right.
Depending on how the house is framed and what materials they used and where it's at. But it can be done
for it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it can be done. It just, if you're using TGIs or something, it creates some issues. I actually saw some videos of some guys that cut the TGIs and notched down in them. And I was like, oh my goodness, don't take this video down.
Yeah.
You want to take down some videos, take those kind of videos down. Those are dangerous. I know, but I'm just saying.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right.
And we've done a handful of those showers, and they're pretty neat that you can walk into the room, and if you're on a walker or a wheelchair, you just roll right in there, and there's a bench. You transfer to the bench, and you can shower and get on with life. And I know they appreciate it, and everybody else around them does too, right?
Because it's just easier, right? It's just easier for everybody,
right?
So I'm looking down the rest of this list, and faucets we spoke about, thermostat or an anti-scald controls, that's for a shower that's automatic, right? They have pressure.
That's automatic.
That's
now.
Automatic. Yes. There are anti-scald controls for kitchen faucets so that your granddaughter can say, pop, pop, it's hot, but it didn't burn me.
Right.
So those are things to consider. And then
they figured it out.
Yeah. Yeah. that's called cognitive learning.
Right.
Behavior modification.
They're a little scarred, but they're going to be fine.
It's like, upper wall cabinetry, 3 inches lower than conventional height. That's probably pretty important. And then, accented stripes on the edge of countertops to provide visual orientation to the workspace. We're probably not recommending yellow caution tape, but in your design, change the colors, right? It's, you get a designer in and they will show you how to do that and be aesthetically pleasing. But again, it's one of those things. Oh, that was the other thing that I shared with you, my friend who was in nursing and they went through, they gave her glasses to make her like nearsighted or whatever it is that,
right.
It was like, it was harsh.
Make her like me.
Yeah. Yeah. they talk about, pull down shelving. And then there are some appliances and I think even sinks, if I remember right, that are plumbed in such a way that they can be, I'm not sure on the sink piece. I'd have to go back and look at that, but I know like cooktops and so on can be, can go to counter height, when they're not in use, but then drop lower for a person in a wheelchair to be able to use them. And then open shelving in some space, just for those things that you're frequently going after, probably pots and pans and things that you're going to use over and over again, rather than have to open a door.
You talk about dropping it down. That was, I think originally that's where the idea for the lower microwave came from, but now it's become a thing in a lot of kitchens is people don't want to look at the microwave, so right. they put it down lower, and it's
there's a yeah, drawer microwave.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have all types of options for that. which is pretty cool. So, you know, I think it was out of necessity at first, but then, you know, people figured out you can lower them down, put them, they work wherever they're at pretty much. So.
So I think the other piece that is worth mentioning is just paying really close attention to your lighting plan. And again, you probably want an electrician or someone who is like a CAPS certified or NERI certified aging in place design builder. But there's a couple really basic things. Getting lighting, more lighting in key places. With LED lights, it's less of an issue, but we always shared with people, look, if you're in a hallway or a particular room, use fixtures that have two bulbs in them so that if one goes out, the room isn't dark or the hallway isn't dark. You still have a second one while till you get the other ones in place. The placement of lighting for task lighting is different when you're in a wheelchair, pardon me, versus standing, and so you want to have thoughts around that. I'm a big fan of the LEDs, David, the recess, because there's so many options now that are easy to either install new or to retrofit old, and that lighting again doesn't generate a lot of heat, very bright, and if you do that, you can make it much easier for even hallways, kitchens, all those work areas and task areas. What am I forgetting on lighting? I think that's the story. We talked about stacking closets, light switches, thermostats. I don't know. I mean, I think we've basically covered, the key things. Again, we did not do it. I don't want to pretend like we did any kind of justice to it. The idea is to get y'all thinking and then either send us a question and we can share resources, or when you're planning for your remodeling project, you're including a certified remodeler from the Home Builders Association or from the National Association of the Remodeling Industry, somebody that's done the work to know what code requirements are, the very basics, and then also the ones who have had just the true innovations and done the things that make it super easy to live in and don't make your home look like an institution, right? Even the chair rail that is actually a handrail but doesn't look like, you know, the handrail you see in a hospital or public restroom. So just lots
and there are folks out there that will help you design and make all those decisions, and then the contractors he learns what to do. So
so
from that designer.
Exactly. You want, it's the design piece, David, as you did. I mean, think about the extra time you put into thinking about your home, and then your framer did what he needed to do or she needed to do, and concrete people and so on. So I think that's our biggest message here. And that's probably our last message, because we're fundamentally out of time.
Goodness gracious.
Whew, that time goes screaming by. Folks, thanks for all the great calls this week. We love getting those calls. We love answering questions. We love providing resources for you each week. And each week, we like to remind you that in our opinion, the most important kind of home improvement that you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. As you work on everything else and take on all your projects, no matter what the design looks like, don't forget to take on that project. And we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.